right, so let's make it plain. Welcome back to the Make It Plain Wayne podcast, Elevated Friendship. How do you feel about all this going on? Now, I'm going to tell you how I feel, but how do you feel? Let's make it plain. All right, you all. So yes, we are back, and I'm so excited right now because we are in a time period like no other where the 400 hurdles, the 110 hurdles, the 100, the 200, the 400, you know, the mile, the 2 mile, steeplechase, you know, all of these races are super competitive. Then when you come over to the throws, the jumps, the vaults, it's super competitive. And as I was, you know, discussing with a good coaching friend of mine, you have people like Ryan Crouser who are almost throwing the world record every time he throws. So, you know, your throwers, jumpers, vaulters, that are our stars, you know, the Mondo Duplantis and Chris Nielsen. Hey, let's go Yotes. It's super competitive. And like, obviously now at this point, I have more of a knowledge base of track and field as an older person, but I just don't remember seeing track and field this competitive. Like it's just like, whoa, like the 400 hurdles, really? Like women running 52 seconds or faster, and then the guys running all under 47 seconds. What? Or running under 48 seconds. It's like the world record was blown out of the water by Carson Warholm. He blew it, but before that, he ran the world record time, that 46.78. He ran that world record time and then comes over and runs 45.9, which is disgusting because I'm just like, wow, how? But what I want to talk about specifically today is, you know, just in short, I've got some things I really love about what I'm seeing marketing-wise, awareness-wise from the track and field world, and then there's some things that I feel leave something to be desired. There's the rivalries in track and field that are dope, that are awesome and amazing, and then there's also, you know, track and field just in general, like how I feel it fits into today's society and you know, maybe some of the perceptions that need to change. So without further ado, we're just coming off of a really good time where we've had the NCAA track meet. We've had regional qualifying meets for USATF for the young, you know, young women, young men under 18. They'll be heading out to Cali for their national track meet. We've just had the World Masters Association track meet. A few of my, you know, friends and fellow comrades went over and competed, you know, in hurdles and jumps. You know, big up to, you know, Ridiculous. Big up to Tachyon Athletic for helping me move thus far and then go to, you know, Masters Nationals at the end of the month. So we're coming off of a really amazing time. And then as we get into the end of this week and next week, we have our World Masters Nationals. So I'm just really, I'm sorry, our world competition meet in Eugene with the world's best professional track athletes. So two companies, corporations, I am so thankful for in aligning and partnering with USATF is NBC and Xfinity. Like you have no idea how thankful and how much love I feel from both of your organizations coming together. And, you know, being in the sales world, marketing world, You're always jealous of the competitor that's doing a little bit better than you. And the way that they've, come together, it should make anybody and everybody jealous, the way they're coming together. Now obviously they have a little bit more real estate, a little bit more money. But still, like, there's so much good meat and good coverage going on. The only downside is sometimes, actually, I'll save that for later. They're doing a great job. I love what they're doing. I love how they present track meets on NBC and CNBC. So, in a nutshell, thank you, Xfinity. Thank you, NBC. Thank you, CNBC, for giving me great coverage and allowing me to go even deeper with NBC Gold. Like, they allow you to go even deeper into the meets and the coverage on, NBC Gold. So, I'm really thankful to them. I think that's awesome what they've done. And I don't know. I love what I'm seeing thus far. ESPN does show track meets. I'm thinking ESPN and NBC, CNBC. I think that's about it as far as who shows the track meets. Yeah, as far as I know, that's it. They've got it on lock. Now, we talk about the good. Let's talk about the bad and the ugly. There have been several times, and ESPN, if you're listening, if you need to hire somebody to help you with this, like, please let me know. Please put the track meets before cornhole or before baseball or before these meets. Or I'm sorry, games that do run over. When we DVR our shows, there is maybe a full half an hour, sometimes 45 minutes, that I don't get to see the thing I DVR'd because another sport is running over into it. Could you imagine the panic and outbreak if a 30 for 30 was looping over the NBA Finals or looping over, any of these qualifying games for the Stanley Cup, for, the World Series, for, wild card weekend in NFL, or, simply our regional or Eastern Western Conference battles in the NBA? Like, could you imagine how upset people would be if a 30 for 30 or cornhole or poker was bleeding over and extending over one of the sports that, I hate to say it, people actually break a sweat in, that they actually burn calories in. And that's no disrespect to cornhole, but let's be honest. If I'm at a barbecue or I'm at my neighbor's house and he's got his overalls on and a dip in his mouth, and we're playing cornhole, that's not in any way on the same level as going out and running a mile, right? You don't run a mile at barbecues unless you are part of the Baba family. But nobody goes to a track and says, let's have a barbecue and a track meet. Like, it's not a comfortable, leisurely thing. Like, you have to get up in the morning and eat specific things and train a specific way. Track and field is very, very similar, very, very similar to the basketball, football, and powerlifting world, or even golf world. So that's one thing. If I can ask of ESPN and the networks that do run the shows, please know that your shows will run over an extra half an hour in advance. You do it all the time. Like, let's just plan a little bit better. Now, let's go back to the things that I really love, and then I'll come back to, marketing and awareness. I love the Penn State meet. If anything, USATF, please hear me on this. Please, please, please hear me on this. USATF, if you're listening to this, the Penn State model is great for all track meets that you will televise on TV. If you want viewers, if you want viewership, make sure that people can be connected to the sport. And this is what I mean. At the Penn State Relays, we have the NCAA representation of college athletes performing, doing well. And then we have this Jamaica versus America rivalry, you know, high school kids, professional competitors, you know, so there's like different levels of track athlete and competitor at this meet. There's NCAA, there's high school, there's some kids, I believe there's a kids race, and then there's a master's race. And if that wasn't enough, you have professional athletes on top competing and running very well. So you have five representations of people at this meet. This is the perfect model to keep everyone involved in the track meets. Why do we have halftime shows during basketball and football games? Why do we have the kiss cam at basketball games? Why do we have three-point and half-court shooting contest at basketball games? Those seats don't fill themselves. And those seats are an opportunity to make more money. If I know that we're going to have a Masters 100-meter dash or a Masters 200-meter dash at every track meet, and I get the invite as a Masters runner to run a Masters 200 or Masters 100 at the meet that's an hour away, or, you know, even within that same state, that my kid, because he's a USATF athlete, or just the local, you know, elementary schools. If you invite the local elementary schools and they have like their own little, you know, race contest at the school, and you take all the schools, you know, in that zip code to, you know, the meet that's in that neighboring facility, why wouldn't I watch? Those are kids. Kids are going to watch kids. They're going to want to see what kids do. The Masters athletes are going to feel some kind of love and appreciation. And then there's also going to be the high school kids. What high school kid doesn't want to be on TV? Good Lord. Look at Allison Felix and Arian Knighton. Both dominant, fast sprinters before they could even buy a pack of cigarettes, I believe. So keep the demographics that watch track and field involved in track and field. You've got the NCAA representation at this big meet because it's an NCAA meet. But at these professional meets that are on NBC and sponsored by Xfinity and whatnot, have a kid's mile. Have a kid's 100-meter dash. Invite the kids from Oregon, you know, to run a elementary 100-meter dash. Or invite some of the masters out there, do an age division 100-meter dash. You know, the Penn State Relays is a great model for television, track and field, which I believe would echo down the road later to more track meets where, you know, hey, maybe you got a couple of football players that think they're fast, but they don't want to run the full track season. Have a football player 40. And instead of, you know, going off of, you know, time, you know, they can just go off of the whistle. But, hey, maybe they do want to be timed. Now, obviously, you'd have to move the equipment or put down, you know, like lasers and all that stuff to, you know, get the accurate time. But maybe they do want to be timed. Maybe they want to see, you know, how they would run. Also, in the 100-meter dash, now, the 100-meter dash might be a long shot, but in the 60-meter dash, you have got to continue to put up the counter and the time for when these men and women cross 40 meters. That is non-negotiable. You got to put that down there. We should be able to see that when Trayvon Bramell and Christian Coleman are at 40 meters, I should be able to see their 40-meter time. They're the fastest men in the world. Take the argument out of, oh, well, football speed is different than track speed. Of course, running on a turf is different than running on a track. And of course, running on a track is different than running against people of various body sizes and weights. Everybody being the same size in that 100-meter dash is going to be a little bit more difficult. You're not going to look as fast unless you're really fast and talented versus running, I mean, 160-pound man, 180-pound man is going to look really fast next to offensive linemen and running past people that are facing the opposite direction. Like, if you've never played tag, then I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. But people want to be connected to things. We need to find better ways to connect the sport to people. And it's not that difficult. You can have a football 40 or, you know, actually that, now that I'm thinking about it, you can actually start the 40 meter dash right after the 50 meter line and you'd have a good photo finish. That would be actually really fun. Yeah, guys want to, you know, do their time and let a track guy run in the football 40. Let a faster guy run in the 40. Let's say that day, you know, he doesn't run the 100 meter dash. In a football 40, you know, let a college guy come and run that football 40 so we can see a demonstration of what, you know, speed really is, you know. So, yeah, just comparisons, just brainstorms. But also, you know, track and field has its own strongman, strongwoman contest, and we've got to highlight this more. The shot put and shot put, discus, hammer, and javelin all end up kind of woven into the middle of the meet, you know, kind of like in between events where I feel like we should start with these events at the beginning of the meet, especially if it's a meet previously recorded. We should blast out with, you know, facts and statistics, because these men and women work too hard. They are too powerful and too graceful for us to just measure the distance of the shot. And we've got to stop using meters for things. If you live in a country where they measure things by feet, measure it by feet. If we live in a country where everything's measured by yards, measure it in yards. Just say yards, just say feet, because the meters is not necessarily something that I feel like the average American has calculated in their mind. You know that with yards, it's 3 feet. So if I say that I threw a shot put 30 yards, you'd be like, God, what? Like, that's like forever, you know, 30 yards or 20 yards. I'm sorry. So 25 yards, right? If I say I threw a shot put 25 yards, like, you're going to look at me like, whoa, what? Now, meters, I don't really know if anybody would feel that. So, obviously, meters are a little bit different. From yards, they're, you know, essentially, it is what it is. They're close, but it would just be fun if we can just say feet. Like, feet is the easiest thing, I don't know, to call out. But I really feel like we need to put them in the beginning, put the throws first, publicize them first, and highlight their depth of power in their workouts. Like, explain what this power lifter is doing to get to this amazing throw. Like, give me an example of what they throw. Give me an example of what they eat. Give me an example of what they're doing, you know, as far as a template for workouts, because you can just look at the body type, these massive, powerful quads, these massive, powerful arms are not the arms of a distance runner or a sprinter. Like, these people have invested so much in their bodies to be powerful and be explosive. How'd you get that way? So, yeah. So I just wanted to say that, drop that on them. We've got the World Meet coming up. And I just feel like we can do a better job of marketing and spreading the awareness, because, yeah, I feel like golf gets so much good marketing. They have such a good following. And I feel like, you know, whatever top events, you know, or performers consistently show up at state track meets, those top athletes should get some type of, you know, incentive or invite to, you know, like a track meet. Like, say, for example, at the state meet, if you have like some really great throwers at the state meet, maybe give those throwers a chance to, you know, come out to Eugene and watch Ryan Krauser or, you know, Miss Ely, or Raven, Maggie Ewan. You know, if you have men, you know, young ladies and young men that are throwing very well in your state, send them an invite and a schedule to come and see throws. Give them a ticket. Just find one. Just find one person from each state, right? One male and one female in, say, two or three events, right? You find a couple people. Is that a lot? I mean, if they're willing to pay, you know, for the plane ticket, you know, all you have to do is just send them the ticket. You've already got the ticket covered. If they're willing to go, then, hey, they foot the bill. Like, they made it. But it's the awareness of knowing that, hey, somebody spent time on me. Somebody was looking at me. And whether it's athleticnet.com or, you know, just some of the simple services we use online to track, you know, track meets, somebody was watching. Somebody cares. And, you know, like, we have coaches that call us, you know, when our athletes are doing well. It'd be nice to know that, you know, for these bigger meets, like the ATL track meets, the American Track League sponsored by Puma, that somebody's watching. And so that way, you know, by the time we get done with the state track meet and we're headed to the summer where we have like nationals and, you know, all these bigger meets, you know, give some of these kids on their side of the country a chance to go to some of these bigger meets. Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, all that, and their friends see it, the world sees it, and we get more of a chance to spread that awareness. So I feel like we could do a little bit better as far as advertising, as far as, you know, the world meet. I haven't seen really anything come up. Some of it comes up in my Instagram feed, but it's maybe there or Facebook on their own pages. You know, can we send out postcards to homes where we know people watch, you know, track and field? Can we send out letters or email blasts to track teams at high schools, the track coach? If anybody wants the schedule, here's the schedule for the world meets. Here's the schedule for the USATF meets. Put in this QR code and you get a free hat. And after you get in that, after you get that free hat, you get an email, you know, that they collect your email and you become a member and you get, you know, things off. Like, I love, love, love getting emails from USATF because I always feel connected to it. And they give me the chance to get shoes or spikes or clothes or shirts, like that connection. So what are we doing to reach out to pull people back in, right? So I'd love to see the world meet advertised a little bit better. FIFA, the World Cup, is going to be all over ESPN. They're going to be at Lumen Field in the future. Please believe the soccer world is going to do their best to market some stuff. And I just feel like we need to jump around the traditional ways of advertising and doing things and maybe start, you know, reaching out. Maybe do a contest and, you know, kids can, I don't know, show themselves running up a hill or doing stuff. And if it's significant enough or, you know, they list their accolades and GPA, you know, they can win like an academic All-American style award and they'll get, you know, a shirt, an autographed shirt from one of their favorite athletes. Or like I said, they get a chance to come to a meet or have like a one-on-one Zoom with one of their favorite athletes. Like, come on now, this stuff is easy. It doesn't even cost any money. So, yeah, there's a lot of ways to spread this awareness and have a lot of fun. And these are things that I even have to, you know, consider and think about, you know, daily. So now we're talking about rivalries, right? And I'm going a little bit long because I'm passionate and I love my sport. I really do. But now that we're talking about rivalries, you got Fred Curley and Lamont Jacobs. I was very surprised to see Christian Coleman and Trayvon Bermell not at, you know, the Olympic 100 meters, but it's on. Like, it's on. Like, it's on, and I can't wait to see it. Like, I can't wait to see it. We're getting some of the fastest 100 meters in a long time. The shadow of Usain Bolt is now starting to dwindle. Yeah, it's now starting to dwindle. I mean, we've been without him for years now, right? And, you know, people are doing their best to learn, to grow, And, you know, big up to guys like, you know, Will Collins and Marlon Odom from Fast U and from Hurdle Science. Because of what they're doing, athletes that don't have the expertise, athletes that don't have the coach, athletes that don't have the plan, now have a chance to see themselves in a better light. And I think you and I both know, especially if you're listening to this message, if I need Chubbs from Happy Gilmore as a golf pro, as a golf teacher, and I live in, I don't know, Harlem, right? Or the Bronx or Brooklyn, right? If I need that golf pro, that golf teacher, say it's even Shooter McGavin, right? Shooter McGavin. And I live miles and states away. How do I get them? Because of the internet, because of Instagram, because of Facebook, because of all these wonderful services that now we have online, for a price, right? For a price, you can recruit the right help, personal trainers, like my buddy, Lamar. He's got his fitness app, and you can come on and do training with him and learn and grow and do well. So I need to do a podcast on that. But yeah, it's on. 100 meter dash is on. Curly and Jacobs is going to be a show. Christian Coleman is going to be a show. Trayvon Bermell, that's going to be a show. It should be very difficult to figure out who wins this race. It should be very difficult. But big ups to one of the greatest long jumpers now ever on the track, Lamont Jacobs. He is a long jumper and one of the greatest 400 runners / sprinters we've ever seen, Fred Curley. I mean, he's running Olympic level times in the 1, the 2, and the 4. So there's a lot to be proud of in that. Sydney and Dalila Muhammad, obviously, these women are gorgeous. They're doing such an amazing job. They set the standard for what 400 hurdles will be by almost breaking the world record every time. Like, good Lord. And then this new girl, Femke Bol, is right in their foot, right in their, right on their footsteps. Like, she's right behind them. Probably just blowing the walls off of anybody overseas. Like, there's nobody that can even compare to her. And like, that's the thing, like, Poland and Sweden, they work, they put in that work, but that Femke Bol, like, she's, I'm pretty sure as far as endorsements and all that, she's got it made. But yeah, 400 hurdles, it's going to be a repeat of, you know, the 400 hurdle men. I really believe that. Now, I don't know if Carsten Warholm will make it. We'll see. But it's I think those same three are going to be who, you know, we see at the top if Carsten Warholm is healthy. If not, maybe we'll see a new third person. Abby Steiner, love her. Awesome young lady, versus Jamaica. The Jamaican ladies feel disrespected, as they should. They have not gotten the love, the praise, and the awareness that Sha'Carri Richardson and, you know, Abby Steiner have gotten. But that's, I hate to say it, that's just American track and field. Like, we've been pushing and promoting Matthew Bowling so much that we didn't even realize that a white male that was very fast and has been doing the work and is awesome won the 110 hurdles and looked damn good doing it with great hair. That great pomade. I'm talking about Trey Cunningham. And then this young lady, Abby Steiner, young white female, sandy blonde hair, cute, is destroying people in the 200. And then also killing it with a great leg on the 4x4. And then also running, you know, the 100 as well. So you got athletes and people out here killing it and doing a great job. And they just had to hang on Matthew Bowling because of his high school success. I get it. But sometimes you got to focus on reality, right? And like, I really don't know if there ever has been or will be the type of, you know, romanticizing of cultures that we see. I don't know, like, say, like, the exotic exotic parts of the romance languages and the cultures connected to that. I don't know if we'll see that, from the Jamaican women ever, or if there has been, but they're beautiful women. They're intense, fast, and furious women. But I mean, bottom line, when you're running 21.5 and Abby Steiner is running 21.7, what that looks like on a track is maybe about 5 yards. I mean, you might be 5 yards apart in just that race toward the end. So it's not necessarily disrespect. It's just how, it's just how we market and how we do things. I used to notice this a lot when they were like, it's a head-to-head challenge, Tom Brady versus Eli Manning, Tom Brady versus, whatchamacallit, Tom Brady versus Russell Wilson, Tom Brady versus, Aaron Rodgers. No, they're not. Like, their numbers, their resumes might be stacked up against each other at the beginning and the end of the game, but, it's not a boxing match, right? It's not quarterback versus quarterback. They're not on the field at the same time throwing against each other. They're throwing against a linebacker that's trying to destroy his helmet. Like, it should be Aaron Rodgers versus Dominican Sue, or Tom Brady versus, Clay Matthews, or Ray Rice, or Ray Lewis, or, the defensive people. You're on offense. You're throwing against a defense. That's who you're up against. So it's horribly inaccurate, and it makes me laugh every time I see it, because I'm like, that's not like LeBron versus Steph Curry, or even the Celtics versus the Warriors. Like, it's not a one-to-one. It's like comparing, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird, and it makes me laugh. It's all about ego, and I get it, but that's just kind of the way we do things, and I hope we improve one day. Now, as for Arian Knighton and Noah Lyles, as much as that is a rivalry, it's not. Noah Lyles is a fool. He likes to have fun. I love the kid. He's fun. He's corny. He's all those things. I love him. Like, he's awesome. His pointing and having fun was just people showing people that he's not done, right? 2019, he was our world champion. 2020 at the Olympics, he should have been in Tokyo, should have been our 200-meter gold medalist. I would have loved to see that. Because of COVID, we didn't get to see that. 2021, we finally got our, Tokyo Olympics, and he got second. Andre DeGrasse is no slouch, though. So if we think we're just going to walk up into this thing and Andre DeGrasse is just going to be taking a nap, no. Now, there's also Jamaica. I don't know what Jamaica's doing, but yeah, we'll see. And now I know Hansmo Parchment isn't running the 200, but we will get into that too. Pole vault comparisons. I just wanted to, on a light note, you got Mondo Duplantis. I mean, this kid can run a 10-300. I would love to see, just in comparison more often, what a pole vaulter can actually jump over. Now, they don't need to put it out on the field, but I would love to see how far up is that actual pole vault range, right? So, yeah, I would love to see just the pole vault comparison. We've got a great rivalry between Chris Nielsen and Mondo Duplantis. They know each other. They've been competing against each other for years. And really, it's all about bettering yourself, right? Now, when it comes to the 110 hurdles, that's where things are going to be a little shaky. We have Hansmo Parchment, the 110 gold medalist from the Tokyo Olympics. You have the second fastest 110-meter hurdler in history, Grant Holloway. You have the third fastest 110 hurdler, Devin Allen, running the 12.84, that will be at this meet. I don't know who else.
Ooh, I almost forgot the Zoya kid. The Zoya kid from France. He did run a 12.93 over 39-inch hurdles, I believe, last summer or the summer before last. So the kid is fast. I don't know what he'll be able to do over 42s, but that's some homework that I need to do and basically go look at, you know, his races and how he's coming into this thing. But it's going to be a very exciting race. The world is coming to Eugene, Oregon. I hope we take really good care of them, and I hope they have like a really good, you know, experience. And there's going to be a lot, especially for female long jump. Female long jump and triple jump is going to be out of control. I don't know. We'll see. The jumps are always pretty intense, especially high jump. The throws are going to be intense. Even though Ryan Krauser is probably going to be pretty dominant, we'll see how the women do on the women's side. Distance is where it's going to get really kind of nasty, because men's and women's distance is always just, God, it means so many things just have to go well. Every lap, your pacing, don't get caged in, don't get blocked in. So yeah, I'm curious to see how those races go. But yeah, once again, it's going to be exciting to see everybody come to us on our soil. And yeah, just really see how they, you know, produce. Last but not least, I just want to give some love and respect to track and field. Track and field is the basis for all sports. It's not a punishment. It's no more of a punishment than push-ups or bench press or a squat. Like, if working is punishment, then good Lord, just waking up is a punishment. But I really do want to see more visual comparisons of 40-yard dashes. I'd love to see more, you know, special case 40s at track meets, and maybe even just let, you know, our best, you know, in the world show their 40-meter time. Like, we need to stop playing these games and show the world what we really are in track and field. I'd love to see that. Like, we have, there's a guy from China named Zhu Bengtian, who has consistently been one of the best short sprinters ever in the 60 and the 100. And he's like, he's not like 6 foot either. He's like 5'7". Like, I think we're like the same size. He's like either 5'7 or 5'8". And he has one of the most explosive starts, one of the greatest starts ever. You actually have to catch him after 60 and 70 meters. Now, for me, what that means is get this guy's 40-yard time. Get his time. Allow running backs to, you know, run in races and you know, compare their times. Because a lot of them, let's be real, Cali, Texas, and Florida, all those running backs and wide receivers know how to run. A lot of them are track guys. So that's why you've got people like the Cheetah, whatchamacallit, from Tyreek Hill from the Chiefs, saying that he wants to race Usain Bolt. Well, it's because he knows that he's in good shape. He knows that he's powerful. He knows that he's fast. And he believes he can race him right now. But sad thing is, Usain Bolt hasn't run under 10 seconds really ever. I mean, maybe he was a teenager last time he ran under 10 seconds. I don't think Tyreek Hill has ever run faster than 10 seconds. So that's like a horrible matchup. If anything, Tyreek Hill should have been racing Justin Gatlin. He should have been racing, almost said Caron Clement, Fred Curley. He has four men on American soil that he can race before he even qualifies to race Usain Bolt. He has Justin Gatlin, fastest American we've had. He has Fred Curley, Trayvon Bermell, and Christian Coleman. Get out of here. So, yeah, I want to see that. I'd love to see that. And track and field is just, I don't know, it's such a beautiful and amazing sport, and it's tailored to the athlete. In the WNBA, the women play on a 10-foot rim. I believe they should play on a 9-foot rim the way they originally started. Like, they had the original ball, they should play on an original rim. I'd love to see women dunking basketballs. In the women's track and field world, the hurdles are 30 inches high. Internationally, the men's are 42 inches high, a full foot higher. And that's not saying that men are better. It's just based on how we're built, right? In the track and field world, we have somebody that looks much better than us running as our gender opposite in the women. At the same meet, we don't have the first half of basketball as men's and then the second half is women. Or in the NFL, the first half is women and then the second half is men. We don't do that in the NFL and the NBA. But in the track and field world, you have a much more beautiful and prettier and sometimes smarter component in the women. We have women's shot put. We have women's throws. We have women's discus, women's vaults, women's jumps, women's sprints. And these women are just being themselves, right? They've been professional athletes on TV as long as I know. The WNBA is new. Women's football is still very, very, very new. Women's soccer is out there. Like, they have a presence much stronger than women's track and field. But it's just time we start representing and showing it better and connecting it to people a little bit, you know, a little bit better. So it's all wishful thinking, but I'm going to do everything in my power to show as much track and field on my social media as much as possible and just keep that awareness up. So, yeah, I love you all. Hope you love me back. I'll see you soon.